everything is so drastically different from what we thought history should have been. The artifacts are such a mismatch to the theory we were told in school that everything has been amazing. The more we see, the more we feel that we don't know enough. Tartaria as country, which, I mean, people in the West haven't even heard about, and this was the biggest country on the globe just a couple of hundred years ago. It
oh,
is
wow.
on the old maps. It is in the historic books. It has its lineage of kings. It has everything.
Have you heard about plasma energy and all the amazing healing potential it has? Many have experienced how plasma energy can help your body. Recent university tests have shown the effectiveness of balancing plasma energy and putting your body back into biological balance. Tests have shown success in lab animals and human beings by altering conditions of cancer, AIDS, diabetes, malaria, Ebola, E. coli, high blood pressure, brain issues in adults and children, and many other imbalances in the body. Learn more from Dr. Paul and researcher Lynn Schmaltz and how they are using plasma energy to help people heal. See the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This interview, I have an incredible alternative history researcher. Her name is Sylvia Ivanova, and she's joining the program. She's from the New Earth program, where they go around and they do expeditions all over Europe and Turkey and Jordan and Italy. She's been studying past civilizations and architecture. And while she's been exploring, she's been observing many different anomalies that point to alternative explanations about many aspects of our history, and not just really far back history, but even more recent history. You will see that she has a really open mind, but is also a critical thinker. She has taken these anomalies and just kind of wiped clean and said, I'm going to think about these from a completely clean slate and try to figure out what really this means. And while you may not agree with her process, which I love, is starting fresh and just see where these facts may lead. And it comes up with many different answers than you would otherwise let yourself believe, and paradigm changes and all sorts of stuff. But I hope you stick around with this interview, because it really gets interesting as she teaches us some really fascinating differences about Russia. She knows the Russian language and has been translating lots of documents that we are not exposed to here in the West. And according to Sylvia, Russia has a bit more freedom of speech and are allowed to explore and question history more than we are here. And as such, their views of history can teach us some pretty incredible things that we haven't thought about or have been exposed to. So she gets into some of that, and I find it really fascinating. So I hope you stick around for that. Before we get into this interview, I also want to tell you about my Patreon. I have many free books up there. I have a few of mine and some of others that people are donating. There's, I think, 5 free books right now up there on Patreon, ebooks. And then I've been doing these giveaways once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, with C60 I gave last week, and I'm giving restaurant.com cards. I've just been giving things periodically away that people have been donating. So it's really been a good process. And my goal is to give you more than what you pay for when you join my Patreon. So hopefully I'm meeting that objective. There's also so many exclusive interviews that I do with many of your favorite guests. So hopefully you'll take a look at that. The link is below to join my Patreon. And I also want to tell you about a free fasting summit that is coming up. I got to tell you, I've lost 10 pounds when I started my intermittent fasting, and I was plateauing forever. I was working out like crazy, really restricting my diet. And I'm telling you, once I started doing this intermittent fasting, I lost 10 pounds. I'm not eating less. I'm just eating at different times, and I feel so much better. I really highly recommend you look into the benefits of fasting. I know there's all sorts of different benefits that a lot of people aren't aware of. So the link for that free summit is below as well. And I want to tell you, this interview is audio only. She doesn't do the video interviews, but I have a lot of different pictures from her expedition that I'll be showing throughout throughout the video so you can see different things that she's talking about in picture form. So let's get into the interview now with Sylvia Ivanova.
Hi, Sylvia. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you very much for having me on your show. I really appreciate this opportunity.
I am so excited to have you because I heard Max Egan talk about you, and then I started doing some research on you, and I was like, oh, this is great. You are going all over the world trying to figure out the true history of the human beings, our true history, by looking at architecture all over the world. And I'm amazed. I love what you're doing. Can you give us a little bit of an overview as why you started doing this?
Oh, why I started doing it? It was a surprise for myself as well. It happened a couple of years ago. I requested the spirits of the Amazon jungle to give me some sort of work. I wanted to do something for the earth. And after that, immediately my YouTube channel became much more popular than I expected. Actually, I published something very casually by chance. I wasn't really expecting anybody to see it. I don't even remember why I published it. But the way it happened practically is people requested me to make more videos, much to my surprise.
What was it about that went crazy at first?
Initially, it was only translations of some Russian things. I just thought, English-speaking world has not heard about this. The first couple of videos were pure translation. Then gradually I thought, actually, I can paraphrase and make it present the content in a better form. That's how I started adding my own content. And then I was getting more views than expected, and I was contacted by various researchers. And before I even know it, we started going on expeditions. And this is how it all developed.
It's just so amazing. And you realized that a lot of the English world did not know things, because unless it's translated, we're not going to know about it.
Yes, Russia is quite a different world. It's another place. There is this barrier now. They're trying to make it even higher, this wall again. I can see this trend in politics, and sadly, this stops the flow of information.
Yes.
I still take a lot from Russian sources. I keep an eye on the alternative history research over there, and I try to select the best and present it together with the things I discover on expeditions. So now I do both of these things.
Well, what were some of the first things that you discovered that really started to pique your interest?
You mean discovered as reading the work of others? Or
yeah, just in general. Well, I want to talk about what you've been finding in the field, because that's really historic. But what were some of the first things that you discovered that was like, wow, this is really different than what I thought?
In terms of field research, everywhere I went, even from the very first one in Spain, it is everything is so drastically different from what we thought history should have been. The artifacts are such a mismatch to the theory we were told in school that everything has been amazing. Probably the most amazing things are the amounts of rocket ruins, this complex that spreads all around the Mediterranean Sea and in Asia Minor. This has been housing many, many millions of people. And this civilization doesn't even exist in the mainstream history. Probably the most shocking out of everything is the amount of ruins which lay abandoned, overgrown, unstudied, neglected. The locals use them as cellars, as Even they're not much interested in Turkey. The local people have around zero interest in these ruins, although it's just they're everywhere. I mean, their villages are on them or in them very often. In Italy, people have some interest, but it's minimal. Everything is very overgrown. I came back from Italy just a week ago. It's just blackberries all over, and it's so many thousands of rooms. When we go out in the fields where there is no path, only the mushroom pickers still have some paths in these wild areas. It's everywhere we turn, it's rooms and these streets, rocket streets, via covers. They're just, we barely need to search for them. It's wherever we go, and sometimes when we get lost on the road or something, we find even more.
Wow. And what is it pointing to? There's whole civilizations that we didn't even know about?
Yes, there is no official name. I call them the civilization of the rock cutters or the nature people. They definitely have a consistent style, spreading all the way, even from Japan. The most eastmost parts, even in Japan, we see their style. They may seem somewhat primitive and like something that any simple people will make. But when we carefully look, they have specific borders. They have like shape of the rooms and the way they make their streets. Also the vehicle tracks, which don't make much sense to us. They have their peculiar style, which are not just by chance, you know, some grotto made by simple people. So it is definitely a civilization, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you say, too, with ruins being so old, that they break down and they start to look more simple, but if you actually had them in its original form, where they had the coverings and everything, it would have looked a lot different.
Yes, that is another point, yeah, definitely. And this is one thing we noticed more and more in Italy this time, that we are not sure how it really looked like. All these via covers, it means streets. Literally, it means excavated streets. But we are not sure anymore if they are even streets anymore, because we walked a lot in them. They are pretty... sometimes it's almost impossible to walk on them. Like the sides are very well smoothed with tool marks, machine marks, and chisel marks. So they knew how to make a straight surface. They were quite skilled. And yet the ground level, it's just left so rough. You can barely walk there. And there was slight rain. It was becoming impossible to walk. I mean, you need like, let's say, 15 minutes to pass through 100 meters of such road. I mean, what kind of road is this? We thought this is not road.
So what were you thinking it was?
The more we see, the more we feel that we don't know enough. This is every time we try to put some sort of hypothesis together, there is something against it. It most likely they were roads. Certainly some parts, I mean, most definitely look like roads. But that is like for 30 meters, and then those stone bumps start. And you wonder, is this really a road? Were sometimes we thought there must have been wood on the top, but they're so bumpy and so tilted. How can you even put wood on the top of it? It doesn't make sense. While at the same time, the sides, the walls are dead straight with elegant windows, everything very precise. It's just puzzling from all sides. The more we see, it's more puzzling. The more we see, more puzzling. Sorry to have interrupted you.
No. I'm interviewing you. So the question is, just like with the pyramids, do you think that over time people might have taken the more perfected stones. And then it became like this mismatch of perfection and not, because, or an older or a newer civilization that didn't have the skill came and did something to it.
In some cases, yes. In the cases of the Via Cavas, definitely not, because there is nothing to take away. It's a rock cut passage. And you can see the style of cutting. Yeah, there are two distinct styles. They were deepened at some time, at some point of time. We were laughing because at places they are like 30 meters deep, the road cut into the rock and goes on and on and on. It's so deep. And that wasn't enough. You can see with a different style cutting, they made it even deeper.
Wow.
35. 30 was not enough.
How old do you think that civilization was?
Yeah, very, very good question. Extremely good question. And you see, the Tufa stone in which these passages are cut is very soft. So on one side, one wonders, can this really be even 1 or 2,000 years old? Because it's so soft. Again, some people in the group were saying, this is not stone. This is like mud. It just falls apart. And how can you have any tool marks visible on the sides if it is so soft? Some argued that it can't be even 1,000 years old. Well, that's on one side. But at places it's soft, at places it's harder. About the age, what we can say for sure, it definitely looks like that the stone, when they were working with it, when they were cutting these passages, and also the thousands and probably even millions of dwellings around them, this thing was soft. This, what is now Tufa stone, okay, it's soft stone, but it's still stone, was not stone at that time. We saw the marks. They were left when the surface was softer. Now, if we assume that modern geology is correct and scientific, these tufas will be, I don't know, 5-10 million years old, you know, we always talk in millions. Or in some cases, they will be more moderate, just a couple of 100,000 years. It's always very, very old. I personally don't believe this is at all true, because we found a log of wood. We found the wood that has been trapped into this tufa powder from which the tufa stone hardened. And we examined that wood. And we saw the exactly same thing as Turkey, slightly petrified on the sides, but inside it was very soft and very fresh. So if this tufa stone was indeed millions of years old, this should have decomposed, rotted, petrified, whatever, disintegrated very, very long time ago, but it is very, very fresh. And the same, as fresh as the same pieces of wood that we found in Turkey, again in a tufa stone, which is, I don't know how many millions of years old, allegedly. So I don't believe all these tufas are very, very old. And from what we observed, I can say for sure that all this was cut when the tufa was soft. And my overall impression is that, not that the earth is young, I'm not hinting towards that. I think as the different historic theaters, the scenes for the various civilizations are being set by the keepers of time, by the angels, they just fashion the earth anew with all what we call natural settings. They make everything new for the new people to come. And I think this happened very recently. I think the earth was refashioned very, very recently. I was not looking for such clues, neither in Turkey nor in Italy, But when we see the logs of fresh wood, we just investigated it. And again, I'm going even into geology, which wasn't my intention. But when one finds things, and moreover, when I see that we find the same things in Turkey and in Italy, it starts to have some meaning for me.
Well, I've talked to people that have found quarries that are 100,000 years old. Now, are you running into that same kind of thing where you're seeing civilizations that are much older, or you ran into a civilization that we haven't even tracked and you don't think it's that old, which is amazing, you know, a couple thousand years old. But have you also seen things that must be 100 or 50,000 years old?
About dating, I'm not sure about anything anymore. I'm not even sure that our way of perception of time and our way of counting time will be even applicable for the older times. Even about that, I'm not sure, because we have reliable sources. These are the past life regressions. They have been proven to be the most reliable source for historic information so far, although nobody's doing a proper study, but still some pieces of information surface here and there. And many, many people say, when the regressionist asks them, and when was that? Many of them will say, but our counting was not applicable at that time. How can I tell you if this system, this way of time flow is not there? You know, the reference point is different. So I'm sure it was different, maybe even a couple of thousand years ago. Who knows? Maybe even at the time of Atlantis. I don't know if at the time of Atlantis and Lemuria it was still the same time flow. I really don't know. And I was lucky to be with very intelligent people in this expedition in Italy, and it was they really added so much value to my soul and being when we were discussing things. And even we are not sure anymore about this soft stone. This was like a big mystery, because we were seeing everyday things about this. So maybe the full earth was quite different. Maybe it was kind of the stone was even softer at that time, like in general, like things were different, maybe more etheric, maybe because the consciousness of the people was a different level. So maybe also the natural environment was different. And this is not so radically different. For example, some people, even mainstream scientists, they say, for example, the dinosaurs, their heads, their necks, they were so heavy, if the Earth's gravity and the entire way the earth was set was like now, they wouldn't be able to support so much weight. So we are talking about an entirely different world. So maybe it was entirely different even 1 or 2,000 years ago when these stone dwellings were made.
Well, what do you think? Well, now, where do you live now?
I live in Central Europe right now. I live by the edge of the forest, of a forest on the fringe, and on the fringe of the society. I'm a bit of an unusual person.
Well, no, that's okay. But I'm just wondering, did you grow up in Russia?
Oh, no, I happen to know Russian by chance, because I'm a Bulgarian myself. I grew up in Bulgaria. That's where I spent my childhood. I left home when I was 17, and then I traveled just all the time for many, many long years. And recently only I settled here in Central Europe. Well, I'm Bulgarian by birth.
It's fascinating, because you've looked at so many parts of the world and are seeing so many different things that just don't make sense to what, you know, we've been taught in history. But one thing that you said is, you know, like the Russia, you know, Russian, and they have a different view of their history. Can you explain kind of some of the view of their history and how it differs from maybe the Western view?
I'm talking about the alternative history. The mainstream history was same, but one thing in Russia now is that they have slightly more freedom of speech, and they're allowed to know a little bit more about the history compared to the Western people. It's a very slight difference, because now the full world is governed by the same party. It's not that Russia is some sort of exception, or that their politicians are better or anything. But still, even if they are allowed, let's say, 2% more freedom of speech and a bit more information is released to them, even that is, you know, in the kingdom of the blind, the person with one eye is, you know,
exactly.
The king. The different, yes.
Yeah. So what, yeah, I didn't mean to cut you up. I wanted to know, what are some of that 2%, what is that they're seeing that we don't?
For example, even openly on TV and established, historians, they admit at least that all this story about Genghis Khan is a hypothesis. They haven't openly said, okay, it was a big lie, but at least that they're accepting that, oh, it could have been, or maybe not, while decades ago it was preached as, you know, the Holy Bible and undeniable truth, although it is backed up by zero artifacts or proofs of any type. This is one example.
Wow, interesting.
Also, I saw footage of putting, even mentioning Tartaria as country, which, I mean, people in the West haven't even heard about, and this was the biggest country on the globe just a couple of hundred years ago. It is on the old maps. It is in the historic books. It has its lineage of kings. It has everything. Its flag, its a coat of arms. It's there in the old books, but we never hear about it, because that government was the last one to have some connection with the old and truthful way of life. I'm not saying they were the good people, they were the angels, they were the aliens or something, but they had a bit of memory of the old times, of the old history. They were still living somewhat in line with the angelic way of our predecessors respected. They did not want to convert to the dark side as soon as eventually it all eroded from inside and they were defeated. But the people in the West have never even heard about this. If they open Wikipedia or something, this will be listed as a geographical area, which is obviously a lie, because it is listed as kingdom.
What is it? What is the name of that country, and where is that country today? And, you know, what is it today?
Initially, it was spread on all continents at the time when countries started to exist, because before that there were no countries in the way we understand them. Countries are just artificially created to make people kill each other, yeah, suicidal wars. That's the purpose of having countries. But when it was unavoidable to have a country, initially it was covering parts of North and South America, all of Europe, most of Asia, more or less all points of the civilized world, parts of Africa, the more civilized parts of Africa, everywhere. And gradually they broke it into pieces. The last pieces who were not defeated, they were in Siberia. But I wouldn't say this was the place of the country, because it was a worldwide thing.
What was the name of it?
In the Western sources, it was called Tartaria. That's how it is mentioned in the European historic books. We don't even know how the local people called it, because they embarked on such a genocide that They were literally killing and torturing everybody who would even talk about it.
Wow, and it was only a few hundred years ago when they last snuffed it out?
Yes. Yeah, and the exact year is the year in which U.S. was created as a country. They rushed on territories of the of Tartaria. It did not gain its independence from England. They just rushed in to because they were territories without king that were vacant, and they created U.S. in a hurry.
Ah, interesting. Okay, and what have you found? What else have you found that is different? That 2% knowledge that that we may not know about.
These were like the main examples of things that people in the English-speaking world don't know about. Another thing which is gaining popularity is something very obvious and something that many of the listeners will be even able to observe tomorrow if they wish to, that many cities built in this so-called neoclassical style, their buildings are buried in the ground at places even two stories high, without any official explanation, except cultural, cultural layers. I mean, people didn't sweep their streets, so and it piled up to 4 meters five high in 100 or 200 years. And many people started noticing this first in Russia. Now there is also worldwide recognition about it. And this needs to be investigated. I mean, it's it is very interesting how come these buildings are buried and nobody remembers anything, although it was so recent. This is a very good question.
Yeah, and are you seeing that everywhere all over the world?
It is definitely all over Siberia, Europe, and North America. I have not received reports from other parts of the world, and it's not everywhere. Some say it was a mud flood. They suspected a big tsunami. But now it becomes clear because more and more people submit data and they try to figure out what's going on. It wasn't a tsunami because it's more selective, as if it's clay. These layers are clay. It's just basically pure clay. Sometimes when they dig, you can see there is soil, like fertile soil, black, and then 2 meters of clay, and then again a little bit black soil, which has been formed for the past 100 or 200 years. This thing happened some, let's say, 200 years ago. And this mud, it must have come from the skies because it wasn't a flow. If it was a flow, it would fill up the valleys. We don't observe that. It's more like selective. Some places are covered, others are not.
Ah, interesting.
It is, yes, yeah, and there is plenty of images and proof. There's no shortage of proof. Something else very, very interesting is the young forests in Siberia. Very, very large parts of Russia. They have no old trees. All the trees are maximum 200 years old. That's when, you know, this entire region was refashioned. That's that goes hand in hand with the buried buildings. Yeah, so something happened that annihilated all vegetation some 200 years ago. That's for sure.
Wow. Okay. And how about different parts of the world, like Antarctica? Have you heard or learned anything about that area? Or done any research?
I've never been there.
So, no. Okay. That's okay. okay. That I love the fact that you're saying, I don't know if I haven't been there. That tells me a lot. What other interesting things have you seen that people may not know about? I mean, because this is just fascinating for me. I'm just sitting here learning as you're telling me things I'm thinking about. I'm just, you know, giving people new things to think about that they haven't heard before.
Although I haven't been to Antarctica, there was this interesting map I show in the episode about Antarctica. Now the map maker's name escapes me, but it shows it as not a frozen continent. It shows the mountain ranges exactly as they're seen by penetrating radar images. Now radar imagery mm-hmm. equipment nowadays. So people are asking themselves, and it is a historic map, a couple of hundred years old, how could have they known? And those who raise the question, they always go into, okay, the old civilization, the old advanced civilization had, you know, advanced technology, and they could map. And not only how could they see below the ice, but also how could they do the coordinates if they didn't have a sophisticated mapping system. So it's a mystery from all sides. Well, you know,
one thing I heard about those maps is at some point somebody was able to map that out, and then the map makers were just copying it. So the original of that was mapped by somebody, but it could be thousands of years old.
Yeah, that is the usual perception, but I tend to go into other direction now, because the imagery as shown on that particular map is very recent. Is not, if it was mapped, as they say, 12,000 years ago, the world was, the shorelines, the continents were different that time. We have proof about that. Not mainstream, also other proof, you know. So it was recent. It was very, very recent, this map. And I think that when the climate got cold, it happened at the time, at this 200 years ago event. That's for sure, because in the Middle Ages it was much warmer. That is undoubtedly by all sources. Maybe before that, that continent was not frozen as well, and they could simply map it. And as far as why it was advanced mapping, well, there were many advanced people in many ways all through the Middle Ages and at all the time of history. It wasn't like savages and now we are becoming advanced. No, there were always groups of very learned people. So I think that particular map most likely was made very recently, because the continent is frozen since maybe a couple of hundred years. That I'm not absolutely sure about it, but this seems the most likely explanation at this point to me.
Your views and the views of the people that you're doing expeditions with are very different than mainstream views. So how are you being received?
By whom exactly?
By the public, you know, by mainstream. Or even, do they even bother with you guys, so you don't really get to see it?
Mainstream, I don't really get the scientists who come forward and try to argue with me. This has never happened to me. One of the obvious reasons is that I simply disable all comments on my videos.
Okay.
But even if... I remember I had two or three cases when somebody claimed to be a scientist. That was in the very beginning when the comments were still enabled. But I don't know if they were really what they claimed to be. They said they were. What they were writing was just silly.
Sometimes they get silly instead of having something productive. One thing I learned about the United States, you know, North America, is that there were a lot of developed structures here in North America that have been covered over or destroyed. Have you been able to go to North America and see original structures?
How old are we talking? A few hundred years old, or from the
I
time
don't
of the
know.
Mayas, or what kind of style?
Just older than, North America. It's almost like they teach us that nothing was here except nomads. You know, people traveling. The Native Americans were just traveling in groups, right? But no, there were actual a lot of structures and buildings and cities.
About North America, I've never made expeditions there. I lived myself almost a year in Denver a long time ago, but at that time I was not into historic research, so I don't have any field experience over there. I can say only theoretically that the continent was always in connection with the old world, with Europe. Maybe not very close, but definitely regular connections. The Roman style aqueducts and other buildings were there. Not many of them, but still they were. And then if we talk about more recent stuff, I just can't remember all the names, but I show this monuments in neoclassical style. They have images of the time they were allegedly built, but what we see is that they repair older structures. And I suspect they belonged to this civilization is not the right word, maybe the culture of these people we very mistakenly classify as neoclassical. Because in Europe and in Russia, most definitely people have found independently many proofs that this type of buildings were buried. And then when they excavate them and clean them as they go, they also make up the story how this and that person actually built them 100 or 150 years ago. But when we see the photos of their alleged construction, it is as clear as daylight. They are repairing old stuff. They are excavating it. So well, the same is in America.
It's just not what we think. Well, let's talk about this Genghis Khan thing a little bit, that the story, they're starting to think that Genghis Khan might have been more of a myth. Why the myth? What are they thinking? What was the point of the myth?
There was an invasion. Europe was conquered, but it was by these Tartaria people. I don't know if they surely had some sort of leader, and that would be Genghis Khan. But was he Mongolian? We don't. Not very likely, because Mongolia is very recent formation. Of course, Mongolia was part of Tartaria, so it could have been. But this confusion about Mogul and Mongol is the trick they do. They were Moguls, which that is a name of the Tartarias, which even now Mogul means influential, strong person. And at that time, even mainstream sources confirmed that Mogul at that time meant that, not Mongol. And it is a completely modern fantasy to confuse Mogul with Mongol. So there was an invasion, and it was this Tartaria people who were trying to cut off this parasitic contagion, which was like getting worse and worse around Rome and all these probably hybrid species which were introduced to pollute the gene pool. And probably the Tartaria people wanted to put an end to all that. That's why they invaded Europe and held it as a province for whatever, a couple of hundred years. When they were driven out, they were planning to invade again. So there is a lot of truth to that invasion, but it wasn't by Mongolian people, which is ridiculous. These are the most peaceful people on earth. They cannot gather a military. There are so few of them. It's such a small population.
Well, that's just fascinating. What do you think about all the pyramids that they're finding all over the world?
I don't have any information that will be particularly new to the listeners about the pyramids.
Do you, in the other expeditions that you're going on, you know how the pyramids are all, or different structures are all on different ley lines? Are you finding any patterns when you're going out there and looking on your expeditions and these new structures that you're finding? Are they also built on different ley lines and earth lines that might have more meaning?
Now, these ley lines and earth lines, they are a bit difficult to, prove how, where are they exactly. And when I see the sources available to them, they take lots of things as being underlying undeniable truth, and I don't know what are the sources for that. So I just don't do any research on that since I don't have any grounds for it.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. I like that. I like that answer. Even though I wish you had an answer, I like the answer. It's better than, I love it when I talk to people that say, I don't know because I don't trust the source. That means that, you know, there's more to it, what you're saying. Now, have you traveled through Russia?
Very little, just in my childhood, just a couple of weeks, that's all.
Where do you focus more of your expeditions?
Oh, mostly Italy and Turkey. That's where the rock cut ruins are, and they're really, really abandoned. Nobody studies them. It's just amazing how they are overgrown. And in Italy now, I visited regions which I saw first 2 years ago, and I see how in 2 years these bushes of very thorny blackberries have conquered lots of territory, and the ruins are much less now.
So it just, it's so quick that they can be covered up.
Oh yeah.
That's interesting. So now these ruins, you said there was millions of people that were living in this, and they're not even in our history books.
Partially they are, like in Italy they will say they are the Etruscans. In Turkey they will say, oh yeah, it was Lycians or whatever the tribe lived there. But this is obviously very surely partially true, because they were used by all the cultures. Even nowadays people live in them. So all this that they say, Etruscans, Lycians or whatever, surely they lived there. Did they make them? We don't know. So, and if they were as simple as they are telling us, then how come they had unique style of vehicles that left the same tracks everywhere? It means they were very much connected. And why did they have same style of house making all the way from Japan, China to Spain? This doesn't explain. If these were the simple tribes, they are telling us they shouldn't have traveled so much. And it's there are also these tunnels all the way from England to Turkey. They're telling us, I think they are much even all around the world. So what, these simple tribes made them as well? These are underground tunnels, quite a lot of them, entire network.
A tire network of tunnels. What do you think that they did with those? Is it just to, yeah, what did they do with those networks of tunnels? And they go across Europe.
Yeah, that's I have no clue. If you want me to guess, some of them would be from even older civilizations. Some of them could have been used for pneumatic transport. We don't need sophisticated electronics for that, because they're like very round, and
Are they big?
you can. Yeah, some of them are very big. Others are so narrow that a human cannot pass through them. Very good questions. How did they make them? I got stuck in one of those. I was with a friend. He was swearing very bad. He was going on and on and on. He was thinking there will be some place to turn. And it was wet and dark, but it was getting more and more narrow.
Oh, geez. And then you guys could be stuck in there for a long time. You're lucky to get out.
Yeah, if you walk like, if you crawl, we were crawling like maybe 20 meters, very slow crawling because you can barely, you know, and you cannot turn and you hope to find a place to turn and then it's not there, then going back is the problem.
You have to go backwards for 20 meters until it gets wider. Wow. Well, now, but these things go across the entire, like, you know, across Europe and stuff. Now, some of them that are really big, how big are they?
Oh, there is really big ones in Sierra de San Cristobal in Italy. It is a place guarded with armed people. We were like, our group was split in two. The second part, I was in the first part. We didn't know about these armed guards. We just went to the place and we started walking. It's like nature. I mean, it's there is no fence or nothing. And the others were stopped by intimidating men with guns. That is in Spain. Over there, you get really, really deep stuff. I mean, shafts, I don't know, dozens of meters deep. It's hard. I didn't get to measure them. And the very caves themselves, some of them are a couple of stories high. It looks like quarry, but yet you see lots of rooms mixed that look residential. And yes, now this same person who was with me on the expedition, he went also to Sicily, and he told me over there he found the same thing, and it was locked again. Because in Sierra of San Cristobal, even whatever we could see by chance, that was the stuff that was not locked. The really deep stuff was locked with metal.
They won't let people see it. And so nobody even knows what's there, and it hasn't been researched. If it has been researched and documented, it's private, secret.
We definitely saw pictures and people who have been to the deeper shafts. That's for sure. Some of them have pictures. When we went on the spot, it was getting more and more close. Just the roads, the very road is closed. There is a big label, private property. And the people with guns who stopped our friend, they said, get out of private property, although it is not private property. It is bought by the military. They lie to people that it is private property. And for sure, the bigger shafts, they're disappearing. They're getting blocked. Then this person called Tipin, he saw the same thing in Sicily. Also massive chambers, stories high, you know, all locked. That's what you can see from the door. And then in Italy, I met a person who told me about the same thing somewhere in eastern Italy. He was there. The villagers have been there as boys. Definitely, they say enormous shafts all underground, very, very big and deep. Definitely, it's there. He went to the spot again. It's metal door locked with armed guard. Yeah, this is the situation.
This is so fascinating. Where can people learn more about your work and what you're doing?
On my YouTube channel, New Earth. That's simple. Also, I have website, megaliths.org.
Yeah, just so, and you can see pictures of all these different things. And I hope you'll send me some pictures that I can put up throughout this conversation.
Plenty of them.
And I just thank you so much. You go and you speak. You give some speaking tours and stuff too, don't you?
For now, I have not done any video thing at all. Not in person. I do only audio.
Okay. I thought you were doing some tours. Okay. Well, so people can find you on your website. They can find you on your YouTube. And it's so fascinating to find more and more people like you that are going and saying, okay, what the heck is out here and what don't we know? I love it. You know, really open mind and just saying, okay, I'm going to re-question everything from an open-minded perspective and look at things. It's really fun because that's when you can really start to find new and different things. Well, thank you so much for joining the program. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And again, thank you for the opportunity to tell the people what I have found.
With the world being so crazy, I have two great gift ideas to help you and your family stay safe. First, the Shockwave Torch. This tiny tool drops a 260-pound thug in 2 seconds. It packs so much power in such a small package, it's scary. Thank God it's got a safety on it. If you want to stay safe in a dangerous world, I promise the Shockwave Torch will help. Next, I want to show you the Light Defender Tactical Laser. It's a palm-sized device that drops attackers by shooting off electromagnetic radiation. It is legal in most of the U.S., but it has been banned inside 4 different states, and countries across the world have been banning it left and right. This might have something to do with the fact the military uses these devices in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other hostile zones to drop terrorists in their tracks. The U.S. Navy calls it the best emergency rescuing device, and it's so powerful it will even start fires with no matches or fuel required. Click the links below to learn more about the Shockwave Torch and the Light Defender Tactical Laser Tool. There'd be great gifts for your loved ones and family to keep them safe in this crazy world.